I don't want to. I can go to any echo chamber. I might as well go to that one. But no, it's just kind of. I just started listening to the book tonight, the audio version of it. But no, he's a Mormon that was pretty vocal about, you know, being against gay marriage and that kind of thing. So they're trying to do a boycott of the movie, even though he gets no money from the movie.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie to you. I know nothing about that whatsoever.
Yeah, it's got Harrison Ford in it. Not that makes any difference, but yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of boycotts that don't seem to go anywhere.
Yeah, that may be true. It's now 1 o'clock right here on 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community
Radio.
So what's your
take on the whole transsexual thing?
In the
context of, you know, in California, they just passed a new law that Governor Brown signed it, that if you're a transsexual individual, you can now, in other words, if you're a male to female or female to male, now you can go to the other bathroom legally. It's your legal right to do so.
All right.
Well, I mean, I just wondered what your take on it was.
Well, my feeling is you have to be the transitional period has to be more than 51% completed before you can start using the bathroom that God should have made you, or you should have been born into using, right?
Well, this, I think all this takes is some kind of note from your doctor, basically, and you know, where you can legally change the.
And would you show that note to the hall monitor? Who exactly would you show that note to?
Well, I think it's a little bit. I mean, I think it's a little bit. I know there's some hardcore gay activists that, you know, that seem to want to change society rather radically, and they seem to be succeeding quite well with.
And by changing society, you mean changing the municipal code of San Francisco to allow gay people to stand on, or gay people, to allow naked people to stand on street corners?
Well, it's more than that. It's like there's been several schools around the country that have been sued with transgender people wanting, you know, self-identifying as either male or female, wanting to either play on the sports teams or, you know, as the other sex, or wanting their, you know, to either use the girls' bathroom or the males' bathroom.
Right.
And, you know, but I'm kind of in between on it, but what I find kind of not so tolerant of the hardcore gay community is that, you know, a lot of people. Like I know, like my wife, for example, she's not too keen on the idea of, you know, like you said, some transsexual person coming into the female bathroom. But somehow, if you state that, you are automatically labeled a hater. You know, you're homophobic or whatever.
I have no problem with it as long as the person who is transitioning their sexuality is about it. You can't do a little experiment by checking out the opposite gender's bathrooms for a while. I mean, you know, if you got a guy who's going girl, you can't have him hanging out in the ladies' restroom just to try on the gloves and see if they fit. That's where I'm at on that. I mean, if he's willing to have a surgical procedure to have his penis removed so he can use the ladies' restroom, I'm fine with that. I mean, what am I going to do, argue?
Well, I mean, I understand that, but I guess it's...
Again, I'm sorry, I misspoke. To not have your penis removed, but to have your penis repurposed. Because they don't take it off, they just repurpose it.
They bifurcate it, fillet it.
What?
Well, right. They turn that into the new vagina.
Correct. Turn that into the new vagina.
Yeah, it's a little bit tougher for female to male transsexuals.
Female.
Because there's nothing. You can't really turn a vagina into a penis.
You should Google the professional wrestler China. for more information on how exactly
or the,
you do that.
Or the 84 East German women's weightlifting team.
Yes, correct.
The Sports Illustrated, and I quote, I'll never forget this, and I was a young buck reading it, and I still remember it to this day, finger-long clitorises was the exact quote used to describe the East German weightlifting team in Sports Illustrated when I was a little kid.
I think we're getting very close to what you
said. Wow, that really made an impression on you.
Yeah.
I'm going to go lose your mail by
don't lose the Playboys.
Contemplating these probing issues.
All right, very well.
All right, bye-bye.
Russ with his attempt at multiple puns at once.
All right. We did get a social media message from the Billiam, I believe, in the land of Indians now, who says he's paranoid about people who love God too much.
I'm good with that. 816-931-5534. It's 931-KKFI. You're on the radio now.
Good morning, Benjamin.
How are you?
Pretty good. This is Jefferson.
Hi, Jefferson.
I was calling, I don't know, maybe you don't have an opinion on it, but I was calling about breastfeeding.
I'm a big fan.
No, not my eating the breast. I mean, you know, nurturing a child off of it.
Yeah, no, that too.
Here's my thing. A friend of mine as a kid, still breastfeeding at the age of 5. That's not normal, right?
Well, it's not normal anymore, but it used to be kind of commonplace.
When's the cutoff?
Teeth.
Huh?
Teeth is usually the cutoff.
No, I mean, what teeth would cut you off at 9
now,
months.
No, wait a minute. I was born with a tooth.
What?
Does that mean I go hungry?
Well, not if you were born with a tooth. It sounds like you're ready for some steak, man.
One tooth. I can't eat steak with one tooth.
I had an aunt who only had one tooth, and she got down on steak still. No, but, you know, the whole point, you know, really comes down to this, man, is what people are comfortable with.
Are there any laws in place? I mean, what if you got theoretically, you could have a teenager.
Yeah, you could. That would be a little much, I think. It's got to be a lot for mom to be willing to trust the 5-year-old. With a mouthful of teeth.
No,
the mom's got to really trust the 5-year-old with a mouthful of teeth to breastfeed correctly. I think 5 years is pushing the limit for what people consider to be acceptable socially.
Right
now. But, you know, hey, there's a lot of people.
There could be some psychological damage there.
Yeah, probably not.
You wouldn't call it abuse?
No.
No? Fine. With 6?
No, it's not abuse. I mean, it's not abuse unless you're making the kid do it, and I would imagine you're not. But you know, some people would say that breastfeeding a child after 6 months is too much. Some people would say after 3 months is like, oh, I got the first 6 weeks in, that's good enough. I mean, but that's not, you know, that's just something that we've become normalized to because of. The interest of selling people stuff like formula.
Here's the other side of it, and she's only sort of a roundabout way admitted this. I think she's getting off on it.
Well, then that's something totally different. But I don't know what to. I really don't know what to say to that.
You know. I don't either.
Could you have her call in, please?
Yeah, no, actually, have her call us, would you?
You what?
Yeah, have her call us. The number is 93. And the next breastfeeding, whenever she wakes up, maybe 2 o'clock or something like that, when the child has his next feeding.
All right. So basically, rule of thumb: teeth show up, time to stop.
Generally, if you're in a first or second world country.
Oh, that was my other question. What is the second world? I know the first and the third.
Have you ever been to Canada before?
No, that's the second world.
That's the All second right. world.
All right, Benjamin.
All right, man. You take care.
Thanks for your input. Have a good night.
Take care. Yeah, you know, to each their own when it comes to breastfeeding. I mean, some people don't. Some people just think it's creepy to begin with. But, I mean, 5 years, I could see how somebody would think we're coming up against the wall on that deal.
Right. It's time to think about the weaning process at 5. For the kindergarten teacher's sake.
But, you know, by the time a kid's three, the child has a mouthful of teeth.
Right.
Sharp little baby teeth.
Cheerio Busters is like I like to call them.
Yeah, Cheerio Busters is right. And if you as a woman are willing to stick your nipple in that mouth, I mean, there's a lot of trust involved. And that might help contribute to building a more emotionally mature relationship between mother and son or mother and daughter. Or mother and Jamie Lee Curtis. 10 minutes after the hour of 1-816-931-5534. That's 931-KKFI. And we've talked about a bunch of nothing tonight.
We went in fantastic little circles.
Which, you know, primarily is what we're going to do. Because we have 5 hours to kill. We have essentially no other choice. But we are going to take a really quick little break here, and we'll be back with you in just a few moments right here on Community Radio in the 21st Century.
Urging all my federal employee friends to please consider supporting KKFI during this year's combined federal campaign. That's CFC code 21994. Just a few dollars a week on payroll deductions won't mean much to you, but it'll mean big bucks to us at KKFI. So please consider supporting KKFI. That's agency code 21994.
Kendra told me nothing really matters anymore. When I ask her what she means, she says I ought to know. Kendra says she's made a says she wants me with her down in Candyland. Candy says she wonders why we try. I couldn't think of what to say, I had no ready reply. Candy says I'd like her where she is. It's an opportunity that I don't want to miss. Candy says she's made arrangements for me in the sand. Candy says she wants me with her down in Candyland. Candy says she wants me with her down in Candyland. If I could go on, of course I said I couldn't, and of course we knew that's wrong. But Candy, I said, Candy, no, you can't do that to me, because you love me way too much for you to ever leave. Candy says she's made arrangements for me in the sand. Candy says she wants me with her down. Candy says she's made arrangements for me in the sand. And Candy says she wants me with her down in Candyland. Candy says she wants me with her down in Candyland. Candy says she wants me with her down in Candyland. Candy says she wants me with her down in Candyland.
A little morphine for you with some candy. Right here on Community Radio in the 21st Century. I'm Benjamin. This is the Paragon Radio program. The telephone number is 816-931-5534. That is 931-KKFI. You can also email us, paragonradio@gmail.com. Go to the website for the program, gofindtheothers.com, or the blogspot for the program, paragonradio.blogspot.com. All kinds of stuff out there to do. And Twitter handle?
Go Find the Others.
At Go Find the Others, right? You got to say these things correctly, don't you?
At Go Find the Others.
Yeah, right? It's part of the Twitter thing.
Bang. Correct.
Yeah, hashtags are important, man. Can't play around without your hashtags. So on Tuesday, it'll be an election in Kansas City. Did you know that, Jake?
I did.
And it's a really important election. They're going to vote on one thing. It's a special election. Now, we can discuss this briefly. We can talk about this at length if you want. We'll start by reading from the official ballot. There's one question for the voters in Kansas City, Missouri, to deal with. Shall the county of Jackson impose a sales tax at the rate of 0.5% for a period of 20 years solely for the purpose of promoting economic development by establishing a medical research and development institute in collaboration with and governed by an independent board composed of Children's Mercy Hospital, St. Luke's Hospital, the University of Kansas City, Missouri, and the Kansas City Area Life Sciences Institute in Jackson County, that would create healthcare-related jobs in the county and develop medical cures and discoveries for human diseases. All the proceeds of this tax shall be deposited in a special account separate from the Jackson County General Fund and any other special funds and utilized only for the purposes approved by voters and set forth herein. An annual independent audit of these funds will be overseen by an oversight and audit board appointed by the county executive and will be reported to the public and the Jackson County legislature. I mean, that's amazing. Sales tax at the rate of 0.5%. Now, 0.5% does not seem like much. And this is really where I'm going to come from on this issue. But if you live in Midtown, if you live in the special economic development zone, which is essentially the Plaza to Waldo, State Line to Troost, if you live in that corridor, you shop in that corridor, you recreate in that corridor, from Power to Be White District, and I might be speaking incorrectly. Maybe I should get on the internet and determine if that special economic development zone extends all the way down to the City Market, because it may. But essentially, if you live in the heart, the nut of Kansas City, our sales tax rate is going to go up, if they raise it by 0.5%, our sales tax rate will be 0.25% shy, 0.25% shy of 11%. 11%, 10.75% sales tax rate. OMG, WTF. Is that ridiculous?
That is ridiculous. I'm trying to find the actual, the term is millage. I think it was the Stamp Act. It's one of these old ones from the founding of this great nation, where it's illegal to charge tax in the sum of a currency that does not exist. So basically, in our current system, it has to be at least a penny, though concerning themselves with things like the Constitution, they don't really care. But they're,
yeah, it's 1%.
Be no. 1 penny. But you said the increase would be 0.5%, right?
Right.
Which is illegal because there's no denomination that you could pay that in.
I think you might be a little obtuse on this one, but I appreciate that about you, Jake.
Oh, yeah, it's it's the devil's in the details, and it's neither here nor there. But I always get amused when people and municipalities.
Well, don't they charge the? You know, if you ever look at the price of a gallon of gasoline,
yeah,
there's always a 9/10 of a cent.
Well, the supposedly the price isn't per gallon, it's per 9/10 of a gallon. But yeah, there's also extra decimals in there, which in the land of digital technology is acceptable. But if you want to get real technical, like these kind of people do.
But just beyond, I mean, right. But beyond the whole notion of, Should Jackson County be collaborating with some of these hospitals? I mean,
no.
I think, you know, I think Children's Mercy, I've taken my kids there before. I've been very pleased with Children's Mercy.
They showed mercy.
They did. I've been pleased with Children's Mercy. I've been very surprised. And I don't like doctors and I don't like the medical establishment, but I've been very pleased with my experience because I've had a couple broken bones, et cetera, in the family. I've been pleased with Children's Mercy. Over my life, I've dealt with St. Luke's. I've had family members, you know, I mean, you had a kid at St. Luke's once upon a time.
Correct.
You know, I have a generally positive view of St. Luke's as well. Nice Episcopalian Charity Hospital. Very big presence here in Midtown Kansas City. I don't have negative impressions of these institutions. You know, most people, the county government is so off their radar, they don't have a clue about it either. Everyone had a gripe with the county government earlier this year who was a landowner because or a property owner, say a landowner. I sound like we're a bunch of plutocrats in the 14th century in England or something right after the enclosure movement.
I brought my powdered wig.
But people who had seen their property taxes go up immensely because they fired everyone at the county assessor's office and then they lowered everyone's property taxes. And we're just like, okay, well, I'm back to having a generally positive outlook and viewpoint of my county government. Beyond all that, do we really want to have the sales taxes raised again and have almost 11% sales tax rate? I mean, I'm not coming at it from I'm opposed to medical research necessarily, even though I am deep down inside. But on the surface, I'm not arguing that. I'm just saying, do we want to have a sales tax rate of almost 11%? Because it will be 11% as soon as they need a little more money for, you know, the police department or the schools or the sewers or something like that.
BD from EJC says in Blue Springs they're doing a half cent for their parks and community center.
So that's another half cent sales tax. Most of Blue Springs is in Jackson County.
Right.
That would be another chunk on top of that already. I mean, it's just at some point you go, okay, how much more? I mean, what? It's just a little frustrating is all I'm saying. Because it will never
stop.
Ever stop.
It was three suicides ago, maybe. There was that piece in there about how we're still paying tax on the Civil War. I mean, there's, I think we did a show once about when the Broadway Bridge, the toll, which is another form of tax, when they finished that structure, the tax stopped. When it was paid off, the tax stopped.
The Broadway Bridge.
Right. At some point, I think it would be interesting to see if all these taxes that we currently pay in half-cent increments, if these things have ever been fully funded, completed. I wonder what what percentage waste we're paying.
Waste in regards to?
Tax on stuff that's like the Civil War tax, essentially. Like, you know, there's parts of the federal tax structure that's still going to the Civil War. The loans that were taken out in 1861.
But I thought that the argument was that Lincoln paid for the Civil War with greenbacks. But that's funny to you. All right, fine. Everything's a big joke to you, Jake.
Amazing.
Because 10, come on, man. Let's see. Jackson County, Missouri, sales tax rate 2013. They don't want you to know this. You can't just type in a little information and get this figured out. Oh, my God. What is this? County sales tax rates from the Missouri Department of Revenue. No, I just want something, this should be a very simple thing to find. Just the effective sales tax rate for current Jackson County. Oh, why is this so difficult? Welcome to Jackson, Missouri. I don't want Jackson, Missouri. Jackson County, Missouri sales tax. I don't know why this is so difficult to find this information out. We'll have to come back to this, I guess. It's like they don't want you to have this information. I mean, but nearly 11%. I want to make a complaint. Now, I'm on the Jackson County website. Tax breakdown, taxes, registered to vote, online searches.
You have to do Missouri Department of Revenue, and they have a sales tax breakdown per county.
Yeah, but good luck getting any information out of that.
Okay. I'm selecting a county now. The son of Jax. Where'd he go?
A lot of dead air in this segment here on the Paragon Radio program. But firework sales, it'd be easier to get a firework sale permit and license than it would be to determine what the sales tax rate is for tax levy chart for 2012. Downloaded something.
Multi-letter PDF.
Oh, this is ridiculous. This is literally it looks like a typed piece of paper. Print tax receipt.
From the Great Typewriter Tax Act of 1948.
All right, this is what they call live radio, folks. Hope we're not losing you here.
I'm getting close.
Missouri local sales tax rate among highest in nation. I've almost given up on this. All right, well, we'll have to revisit that. Because I know, now I just have this stuck on my mind. I can't think about anything else. I've been unprepared. I should have had this already figured out. Why this is Jackson County, Missouri. Sales tax. Sales tax calculator. How hard? Missouri sales tax by zip code. Oh, my goodness.
Found it.
Did you?
Currently, it's 9.350.
But that's not correct.
It is not. That's 2012, huh?
Okay. This thing is really difficult. It said it would do it by... Okay, Missouri. did select one state. I have to break this computer.
The answers don't fall out when you crack them open. No, yeah, this is October 2013. Sales and uses tax changes.
How incredibly frustrating. We're going to have to take a quick musical break here. We'll be back in just a few moments. We'll do our dirty laundry and get this figured out for you here on the Paragon Radio program.
Thank you, and a good night and peace. Peace to you and happiness. Thank you. And we'd like to say that it was really out of sight play for y'all. Here's a song for everybody to grab hold of. Not coming from us to you, but coming from... You know, this is a feeling, man. This is a self-assurance thing called Voodoo Child Slight Material. Thank you and good night.
taking up all your sweet time. I'll give it right back. One of these days. I didn't mean to take up all your sweet time. I'll give it right back. One of these days.
Continued looking, and I've decided to give up. Decided that there's really no point, that there is no simple way to understand the sales tax breakdown for the city of Kansas City.
Do you want me to go to Quick Trip and buy something? We'll figure this out.
No, man, I know how much it is. You go to a restaurant. You go to a restaurant that's in the.
No, thank you.
What do they call them?
Zona Rosa. These,
well. No, not Zona Rosa. That's inside a community improvement district. You go to a restaurant. outside one of these community improvement districts, like the Power to Be White District or the Plaza or Brookside or something like that, you are already paying 10.25% in sales tax. And if they put another half a percent sales tax on top of that, we're almost to 11%. That's insane. Completely insane. Let's go back to the phones, though. 816-931-5534, 931-KKFI. You are on the radio.
You talking about paranoia, I was thinking that I'm actually not afraid of anything or paranoid of anything, but you can't find simple tax information about the county. And you reminded me that one time when I was in a kind of a aggressive Facebook chat with a freakish American dude who lived in China.
Yeah.
He was really bugged and complaining that I didn't have my wall. It was called a wall back then. I didn't have my wall accessible to everyone. And I was like, well, why would I? But I did have my maiden name and my married name attached to my first name. So I Googled myself.
Yes.
Because if he can't look at my wall, maybe he's going to Google me. And what I found kind of freaked me out. I was given I landed on this page where it says, Natalie, yada, 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 is related to, and it listed my father and my mother, who have been divorced for 25 years. It listed my younger sister, and it listed my husband. So the only person that was missing, really, was my older sister. And I kind of went, oh, dear God. and so I ended up calling because I think that's something I'm a little bit paranoid about. What is available online versus what isn't available online? And you guys can't even find something that should be available.
Yeah, it should easily be available. I mean, maybe
the breakdown of money and
maybe I'm not smart enough to figure it out. That is certainly possible. But you're saying that you have your lineage, your family tree being easily found
family
on the internet freaks you out a little bit.
Yeah, because isn't that like real personal information? Who my family members' names, who they are and their name?
Well, what is personal information anymore? I mean, it would seem as though there are a thousand different web services out there that if you pay $19.95 per month or something like that, you can do background checks on people. And that's exactly the kind of stuff that it looks for. Who you're related to, you know, how many times you've been arrested, do you pay your taxes on time, that kind of thing.
Yeah, which, okay, fair enough. But I haven't paid that kind of money to do any background check.
No, I know. I'm just saying
I'm an average Joe Googling a name, which, yeah, happens to be my own.
Sure.
But because it's kind of a specific name, the only results I get are on me. And I was, frankly, shocked. Should I not be?
Well, that's really the question, is it not? I mean, what will be considered to be private information anymore? You could argue nothing. You know, the only privacy you essentially have is that you are only anonymous because you're in a sea of digital people. You know, that's the only, you have no other guaranteed anonymity except for the sheer numbers of people who are out there.
And I know this is really naive to say this, but if I didn't have a computer and I didn't have access to the internet, I would still be in that sea and searchable. And in a way, that kind of feels wrong because you can't opt out, you know.
No, you get entered into these. You know, involuntarily.
I'm just saying, there's no way to not be there.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
The only way to not be there is to be ignorant of it being there in the first place. Right? To just be oblivious
mentally,
to it.
Yes.
Yeah, to just be oblivious to begin with. But I mean, anymore, there is no such thing as private information. Except for thoughts that you have personally.
Yeah. I immediately, because of this really aggressive American living overseas, which is why he lives overseas, I very quickly removed my married name because my maiden name is far more generic. So that, I don't know. Not that that changed his ability to remember my name, but he, I don't mean to totally sway the conversation to Facebook, but not only was he aggressive in a public conversation, he was instant messaging me and calling me all sorts of names,
sure.
and it was like, whoa, how is this happening? And that was why I got a little bit paranoid and Googled myself, because I was like, he's even bugged. He can't look at my wall and see what rainbows and kittens I'm sharing.
Well, I mean, certainly if somebody can't look at your wall or whatever it's called now, your timeline, that would bug somebody, wouldn't it? Because that's how they see who you are. That's the way to kind of be voyeuristic and to be a little peeping Tom into your reality.
You know what you can do?
What?
Change your last name to Mohammed. They'll never find you in the sea of Mohammeds. Isn't that the most common last name on the planet now?
No.
Surname? Cho? Mohammed?
Cho.
One of the,
like that, yeah.
Change it to Cho.
I don't know, Jake.
And watch out for aggressive expats.
Yes. That is the lesson to be learned also.
All right, take care and stay paranoid.
Okay, I'll try.
Bye-bye. It shouldn't be hard to stay paranoid. It really shouldn't, should it? You have very little problem doing so.
I have very little problem with paranoia. Because, like they say, sometimes they really are after you.
Yeah, you know, sometimes they really are. 816-931-5534, 931-KKFI. I mean, after you for, I mean, generally all the information that the internet wants to have about you, generally all that information is merely to sell you stuff.
Right, and that's how
really, I mean, 99%, maybe the 1% isn't to sell you stuff. It's to track your thoughts, is to, I don't know, to track your transactions. I mean, it all comes back down to money. I think that's probably a lot of what the government's even looking at.
Right.
It's just money. Is where is money being spent? How is the money moving around? Because that really allows people to understand and see a lot about what you do, because what people do is spend money.
And I think, especially in the last caller's case, when they find family members in those just random background searches, I think those are related to co-signers on loans. You know, if you've ever split a lease with somebody,
sure,
that's, you know, it's the money has tied you to your family members to be traceable like that anyway.
I mean, and it's kind of amazing once you start looking out there what kind of information is available. If you go to casenet.gov, I want to say it is. Do you know what I'm talking about?
That the link I sent you earlier this week?
Similar. Similar. That's essentially, I'm sure there's one for Kansas as well, but that's essentially an ability to search all the court records, you know, both past, present, and current in Missouri.
Yeah.
And what that link you sent me, which is essentially somebody's rap sheet, with a mugshot, I mean, that's pretty amazing. I mean, that all that information is out there.
Right, and that was found because somebody put their full name on Facebook. So beware with your middle and maiden names and married names.
How easy it is to find out information about you and stuff you've done. There are thousands of websites out there that if you pay a small fee, you can do a search, and they'll go through and they'll look at all, you know, not just the court documents for one state, but all states. And it's amazing what is available if the information is synergized, if it's connected, if all the little dots get connected, what is available out there. No, just like you can go to Jackson County's website, and while you might not be able to find a breakdown for what the county property or sales tax pie chart spending appropriations are, it's really easy to see, you know, who owns what property.
Yep, you can find out.
It's really easy to see if people are current on their property taxes. There's all kinds of information that is just, you know, just generically available out there. And I think that, especially with Facebook, you should have no expectation of privacy whatsoever. I mean, what is it, a couple years ago, Facebook switched every single user profile to public. I mean, Facebook is a completely, you know, hackable, hacked, you know, entity. And it's, you know, it's not the end-all be-all of social media either. It's finding its lifespan, its shelf life also will expire at some point. And people will move on. But, you know, shall there be an expectation of privacy? Probably not. And the only expectation you should have of your information not being accessed by anyone is that you are kind of anonymous within the 330-plus million people who live in this country. I mean, that would be it. Is that okay? Yeah. I don't know. Is that the reality of the situation? Is the NSA going to turn, go about face and stop collecting every little bit of data it can about people? I mean, no, that's not going to happen. And while 99% of the internet is to track your commercial transactions, to see where you're spending your money, how you're spending your money, what you're spending your money on, to get you to spend more money on stuff, just simply to get you to buy stuff. What it's all about. I mean, and then you have, I don't know, some spooks out there trying to listen to Angela Merkel's, you know, personal phone calls.
You know, that's Hitler's daughter, right?
Really, Jake? Wouldn't it be his granddaughter?
No.
It wouldn't?
No, she's in her 60s, right?
Oh, when was she born?
Well, the last birthday party I went to hers was...
Yeah, how long ago was that? 816-931-5534. It's 931-KKFI, paragonradio@gmail.com. Here's an interesting article. You know, with all this, all this concern over privacy within internet communication and commerce, email might be on the verge of a radical makeover, and the NSA will not like it. Last Wednesday, two American companies with a track record of offering encrypted private communications are set to join forces in an unprecedented bid to counter Dragnet internet spying. Some of the world's top cryptographers are behind the secure communications provider Silent Circle, and they've teamed up with the founder of LavaBit, the email provider used by Edward Snowden, which recently shut down in a bid to resist surveillance. They're calling it the Dark Mail Alliance. For months, the team has been quietly working on rebuilding email as we know it, and they claim to have had a breakthrough. The newly developed technology has been designed to look just like ordinary email, with an interface that includes all the usual folders, inbox, sent mail, and drafts. But where it differs is what it will automatically deploy, is it will automatically deploy peer-to-peer encryption so that users of the dark mail technology will be able to communicate securely. The encryption, based on a Silent Circle instant messaging protocol, will apply to both content and metadata of the message and attachments, and the secret keys generated to encrypt the communications will be ephemeral.
Ephemeral?
Yeah, ephemeral. Meaning that they are deleted after each exchange of messages. For the NSA and similar surveillance technology or agencies across the world, it would sound like a nightmare. The technology will thwart attempts to sift emails directly from internet cables as part of a so-called upstream collection program and limit the ability to collect messages directly from internet companies through court orders. Covertly monitoring encrypted dark mail emails would likely have to be done by deploying Trojan spyware on a targeted individual's computer. If every email provider in the world adopted this technology for all their users, it would render dragnet interception of email messages and email metadata virtually impossible. Existing forms of email encryption like PGP can be used to encrypt the content of email, but PGP cannot encrypt the subject header or metadata like the to and from fields. The average user can find it too complicated to use. Dark mail promises to address both these issues in the form of an easy-to-use iOS app and an Android app. There will be also desktop versions for Mac and Windows. People using the technology will still be able to send emails to friends or colleagues using Gmail and Hotmail, but when sending messages to non-dark mail users, a warning will be displayed, making it clear that the communications could be intercepted. Silent Circle and LavaBit don't plan to offer the technology exclusively. On the contrary, the source code of the software will be made public for anyone to scrutinize and audit. And the team is hoping that other email providers will be willing to join the Dark Mail Alliance. The more companies that do, the more secure email will become. Our vision is 3 or 4 years from now, this will become email 3.0, the way the majority of the internet users email, says Mike Jenk, Silent Circle CEO. The 45-year-old, a former Navy SEAL sniper, acknowledges that the launch of the service is going to be politically hot. Major companies like Google and Microsoft may be unwilling to adopt it because of how controversial it could be, with governments potentially furious that technology could thwart their attempts to monitor communications and track criminals. But surveillance has become completely out of hand, and he believes it's time to readdress the balance of between security and privacy. Silent Circle, which launched in 2012, boasts a crack team of renowned cryptographers, including Bill Zimmerman and John Callis, who developed PGP mail encryption and Apple's whole disk encryption, respectively. The services offer encrypted phone apps for secure calls and texts. It previously operated an email service, but preemptively shut it down in August after seeing LavaBit abruptly do the same in response to a sweeping government surveillance order. At the time, Silent Circle said it had shut its email service because there are far too many leaks of information and metadata intrinsically in the email protocols themselves. What the company did not reveal was that it was gearing up to launch a new tool that would address that problem. With the Dark Mail Alliance technology in place, Silent Circle is planning to resurrect Silent Mail in early 2014. All dark mail emails passing over the company's servers will be encrypted and won't hold the keys to decrypt them. Its servers will be located in Canada and Switzerland. Any agencies that come down to us have no way to force us to comply with surveillance because architecturally it's impossible. And that's the beauty of it. Ladar Levison, LavaBit's Texas-based founder,